This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, brought to you by CopyBet. This is your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings for yet another jam-packed week. It's the last of the season, which means we have a lot to get through, a juicy relegation battle in the Premier League, plenty of other Premier League games to preview. We've got EFL playoffs to look at, as well as four European finals. Mark, we best get started, haven't we?
Yeah, there's no time for pleasantries. You did enough of them with Steve Palmer on the sweet spot earlier on this week. So, let's crack on.
Absolutely. Should we start with the relegation battle in the Premier League? Because there's, a really exciting one this season, and often it doesn't go down to the last day. We've got plenty of different variables. Shall we start with, Mark, you just talking through the possible outcomes and what can happen this weekend?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, CopyBet's relegation prices, 1 to 33 Leeds, 2 to 13 Leicester, 3 to 1 Everton. Obviously, Everton are in the box seat, and a win saves them. A draw does leave them vulnerable if they were to draw at home to Bournemouth, with a Leicester win relegating the Toffees. Leicester, of course, got West Ham. Only a Leicester win and Everton failing to win saves the Foxes. Leeds, as the odds suggest, they sort of need snookers, really. They've got to win. Hope that Leicester and Everton fail to win. If that happens, then an Everton loss and a Leeds win would be enough to keep them up. If Everton draw, it comes down to goal difference, with Everton currently three ahead. Now, obviously, if Everton lose, that means that will go down to two. Leeds will have to win, so that would go up to... that would leave it at three. So, I mean, Leeds are going to have to really go some on the goal difference front if they're to claw that back in. So, I think realistically, Leeds will feel like they, need both of them, to lose and for them to beat Tottenham. It's a tall order. I think they chucked in the last throw of the dice, didn't they, really, with Sam Allardyce. I don't think he's done terribly, but probably wasn't given long enough to make an impact. And as the odds suggest, I don't see any sort of great escape for them. I actually think that it might not be quite as exciting as what you was billing it to be there, really, Jack. I think, Bournemouth at home, I'm not saying they're a great betting proposition, Everton, but Bournemouth at home, probably other than Southampton at home, is the one game you would have picked, to have at this stage of the season. And the way that Leicester are playing, I don't think you could fancy them, to beat West Ham and to keep up their part of the bargain either. And, Leeds haven't won enough games this season. So I'd be very surprised, actually, if Everton were to be relegated, but I suppose nerves can play a part on the final day. If Leicester and Leeds go ahead, suddenly things might look very different at Goodison, sort of 5 o'clock on Sunday, half an hour in.
Yeah, so Everton very much in the driving seat. Let's quickly have a spin through the individual matches. All of the games Sunday 4:30. Everton at home to Bournemouth, as Mark mentioned there, they're 4-9, 7-2 the draw, 6-1 Bournemouth. And just looking at those prices, Mark, I mean, we probably expect Everton to stay up, but it is funny how kind of circumstance changes perception, doesn't it? Because if this game's, 6 weeks ago, I think the prices look very different.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, the idea of backing Everton at, 4-9 to win a Premier League football match just makes you feel a bit sick. They haven't got Andy Gray up front, have they? They haven't got Neville Southall in goal. This is not.
I hope not.
It's not. Well, no, I was sort of thinking more about when they were in their pomp. When Everton were the best team in the land. At one stage. No, I do feel though that they probably will win. Like I say, I don't think it's a betting proposition necessarily. Bournemouth have gone off the boil slightly, understandably so as well. They look, I think that it probably is over influencing the market, but we can't say that there's no impact to motivation. There clearly is, and it's just about weighing up how much there is. I mean, the way I was looking to go was Everton to win and under 3.5, goals, because, you know, Everton are not, you know, when normally you see a Premier League team at 4-9 to win a game, they've got better options up front than what Everton have got. So I think that might be the best way of playing this one, where they just edge their way to 3 points. And like I say, Bournemouth's attack in the last couple of games has gone very quiet.
Leicester, West Ham. Now, Mark spoke about all of the different implications that need to happen if Leicester were to stay up. They've got West Ham at home this weekend. Leicester odds on 10-11 to beat West Ham. 14-5 the draw, 13-5 West Ham. You spoke earlier, Mark, about, you know, based on recent Leicester performances, you probably wouldn't back them to win here. But strange things can happen.
Oh, they absolutely can. But I just looking at Leicester, it was another lifeless performance, I thought, against Newcastle.
I just couldn't believe, Mark, how, you know, I know you probably say that a point away to Newcastle is a good point, but there was just no willingness to go and attack that game, was there? And I mean, we've probably come to expect it from Dean Smith. But as you say, I was shocked at how just passive they were and how lacking of kind of intent to go forwards.
Yeah, and obviously the draw has kept them alive in this relegation race, but a win, I don't know, it would have been difficult to beat Newcastle. I'm not saying that it would have been easy, but I don't think they gave themselves the best chance to win the game. I know they kept a clean sheet, but that was more through luck than kind of any skilled defence, wasn't it? It was it three times Newcastle hit the woodwork? And, you know, the stats were like incredible in terms of being in favour of Newcastle. A win for Leicester would have made this final day just look so much different. And I felt that the kind of risk reward was there for them to have a good old go in the last 20 minutes. Now, they did force a good save out of Pope in injury time, but even in injury time, Newcastle had the ball at the back and Leicester, you know, were happy to play for a point, and the point suited Newcastle as well. I thought it was strange, and a number of their performances in recent weeks have been just off. And, you know, from where they actually looked like they were going to save themselves, I think that Fulham game completely changed the dynamic of what was going on for Leicester. And I just think at the prices, I'd definitely rather be backing West Ham, because, you know, if Everton are 2-0 up, as the odds suggest that they might be against Bournemouth, like it's not going to be a great atmosphere, is it, at the King Power? And that need to win just suddenly disappears. And while West Ham have got a cup final coming up, it's quite a long way away, that cup final. So not until the 7th of June. So I don't think David Moyes can start resting loads of players, because it might be too long for them to have off. You know, you need to get into a rhythm. And so I think they'll play a relatively strong team. I might have called it completely wrong, and all of a sudden you've got sort of 6-7 kids you've never heard of. But, you know, if West Ham play anything like their strongest team, I think that they are live runners, you know, to win the game at a really juicy price.
Okay, there we go. Now, Leeds, the outsiders of the three to survive, pretty much down based on relegation prices. They've also got on paper, according to prices, the toughest game this week. They host Spurs. They're 17-10 to win the game. The draw is 14-5. Spurs 11-8. How's this season going to finish for your boys, Mark?
For Tottenham, probably as damp as it's been for the last few months, I would have thought. Now, do Tottenham want the Europa Conference League? If they do, a point might be enough. They're 1 point behind Aston Villa in seventh. They've got the same goal difference. So, you know, if Villa were to lose to Brighton, a draw would get Tottenham into Europe. You know, if Villa draw, then they're going to need to win. And if Villa win, Spurs will be out of Europe for the first time, I think it is, in 14 years. Suffered another blow, you know, just before we came on air, didn't we? Varner Slot saying he didn't want to be the manager. And if you can't get somebody out of final to go and manage you, that to me would send big shots in terms of, you know, your sort of power as a club. And I definitely think that Tottenham are trending in the wrong direction as far as that is concerned. Conceded 62 goals this season, which is more than Everton. And we know that Leeds have got the worst defence in the league. They had the opportunity to really sort of help save themselves, didn't they, last week at West Ham, a West Ham team that were, you know, playing with freedom in the sun, but the kind of game that you should fancy, I think, as a relegation sort of candidate to get three massive points. They were outplayed, despite getting the leg up early on. So I was just looking for this game. Both teams to score an over 2.5 goals. You've got two of the worst combined defences in the league. You know, Leeds know that they need to win, so they'll play on the front foot. Tottenham are much better going forward than they are defensively.
So just to conclude on this segment then, Mark, you're expecting Leeds and Leicester to join Southampton in the Championship next season.
Yeah, I am. And, I think both teams have not covered themselves in glory in terms of what the long-term planning looked like. And that's why they're in the position they're in.
OK, let's get on to the rest of the Premier League card.
Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with CopyBet, a sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
Right, let's take a spin through the rest of the Premier League matches. All prices brought to you by CopyBet. More information about them in the description below. We'll start with Arsenal against Wolves. All of these games Sunday, 4:30. Arsenal 4-11, the draw 17-4, Wolves 7-1. And I think many probably expected this game to be a huge one for Arsenal, Mark. But unfortunately, their season's kind of just sort of petered out somewhat.
It definitely has. I saw some newspaper reports suggesting that tickets could be going for $25,000 at the at the Emirates for this one, and there were people suggesting when will the trophy parade sort of be, and I as a Spurs fan, I obviously don't feel sorry for Arsenal, but as a neutral, I do because they were 50-1 at the start of the season. They're going to end up with a really strong points tally. Might be enough to win the Premier League handicap with some firms. It's very close all the way through, actually. That which shows that they've overachieved, and that they didn't manage to win it. I think there's more to do with the quality of Manchester City. Obviously, a disappointing performance against Nottingham Forest, but I think that their hearts have been broken in sort of the last couple of matches. I think now it's officially over. They've had a week to sort of get over it, drown their sorrows. I think that Arteta will want them to finish in a really positive way. And if you remember last year, that disappointment, didn't they, of not making the top four at Newcastle, came out on the final day and actually played some really attractive football. So I was looking at Arsenal -1 on the handicap. So Arsenal to win by at least two goals. I mean, there seems like there's big problems at Wolves. Lopetegui potentially wanting out of the club, and that probably doesn't lend itself to huge motivation from the players either, I wouldn't have thought.
Okay, let's take a look at the next one. Villa Brighton, two sides that will have enjoyed life in the Premier League this season. Brighton have recently secured European football, sorry, they've definitely secured Premier League football for next season. Villa even money at home, 13-5 the draw, Brighton 5-2. A game, Mark, at the end of the season that will be joyful for both.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Aston Villa will be disappointed now going into the final day if they don't make the Conference League. A win definitely guarantees them that, and it doesn't matter what happens at Ellen Road. And I actually think that this is one of those occasions where I am going to take the motivation as a big factor and worry less about kind of the influence of the price in this instance. Aston Villa, they've won six in a row at home. They've only conceded one goal in that time. That was a consolation penalty from Harry Kane. So they're doing very well at Villa Park. And I just think for Brighton, their job was done on Wednesday night against Manchester City. Got another good point. I just wonder what their appetite might be for this game.
Okay, let's take a look at Brentford against Manchester City. 14-5 Brentford, 3-1 the draw. Manchester City odds on 5-6. Any concerns here, Mark, that Manchester City might be resting players or already having one eye on the finals ahead?
Well, they probably will rest some players, but it doesn't seem to matter too much, really, where where it kind of Pep decides to rotate. And I actually think a point away at Brighton, honestly, the way that Brighton are playing just isn't that bad a result, really. And so I'm not that worried about the changes. It is, you know, it's in the price that Man City are not going to line up with all of their best players. They did pick a, you know, a strong enough team, I suppose, against Brighton. It'll be a mix and match side, I'm sure. But you know, if Julian Alvarez is playing, that's not that bad, is it? You know, even somebody like Calvin Phillips that, you know, we've barely seen this season, he's a decent player. You know, obviously, you know, Kanji didn't play in midweek, nor did Ruben Dias. You could get somebody like Laporte to come into the team. So there's loads of options available for Pep Guardiola. And I think he's such a perfectionist that I don't see him easing off. I think that, you know, a bit like what I was saying with West Ham, it's a full week before the sort of FA Cup final and then the Champions League final. That would be a long time, actually, to sort of not get players in a rhythm. So I'm sure it'll be a mix and match team. But it's, I'd still expect it to be good enough to beat Brentford. It's just whether the motivation's there. But I will take the away win.
Okay. Chelsea, Newcastle. Chelsea will be hoping the season ends very quickly, and it will be on Sunday against the Newcastle side that secured Champions League football. Chelsea 17-10, 12-5, the draw, 31-20, Newcastle. How do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, so we're speaking before Chelsea's trip to Old Trafford on Thursday. I was looking here and thinking Chelsea draw no bet as outsiders was the value way to go in this game. Newcastle, I'm sure, will have had some decent celebrations after securing Champions League. And I wonder what the motivation will be for them. As far as Chelsea go, if ever they're going to try at home on the final day, I don't know if Pochettino will be there or not. But yeah, I just thought that Chelsea actually played all right, didn't they, against Manchester City last week, and were slightly unfortunate not to get something out of the game. So if they play with that kind of attitude, that might be enough, actually. And I thought they were a value bet, draw no bet.
Okay, Palace against Forest. Forest will be playing Premier League football next season. A brilliant achievement for them. But Palace odds on to win this one. 7-10, 3-1 the draw. Forest 15-4. I think at one point, Mark, we probably expected Forest not to survive this season, but they've got the job done and done it well.
Yeah, they have. Home form absolutely key, which is why I'm going to go for Crystal Palace to win this game. Forest been mainly terrible on the road. That is something that will need to improve next season. I don't think you can rely, you know, solely on what goes on at the City Ground. There's good vibes around Crystal Palace at the moment. Eze got his England call up as well, fully deserved. You know, he's having a wonderful time of it. Like virtually all of these games, final day of the season, I definitely would be having smaller stakes than I would at other stages of the season, because yeah, it you are guessing to a large extent as to who's maybe got one eye on the beach and stuff like that. But all things considered, I thought that Crystal Palace were fair enough sort of as those odds on favourites.
Okay, let's take a look at Manchester United against Fulham then. Mark mentioned earlier, but speaking before Manchester United's midweek game, but we'll read you the prices at the moment. 9-20, United 7-2, the draw 6-1 about Fulham. Which way
is it going? Yeah, so Jack, I mean, these prices will change. If particularly if Manchester United, you know, were to lose against Chelsea, they would still need something in their quest for the top four. Of course, if they get the top four done, then maybe Erik ten Hag starts thinking about the FA Cup final. So a really tricky game, I think, for us to preview before that. Therefore, I don't think you can back Manchester United. I'm going to go for the draw, which even if things go wrong for United in midweek, you know, they'll still need a draw to make sure of qualifying. And I think that Fulham have shown enough this season to suggest they could be dangerous in this game, and I do think they'll be motivated. If you remember back to that FA Cup tie when Fulham were the better team at Old Trafford, the Willian handball, the Mitrovic incident that saw him suspended for a long time. You know, I don't think that Fulham were hard done by in that situation, but I can imagine that Marco Silva will be able to use that as a way of firing up his players. Otherwise, you know, it's a mid-table game. So Could be a massive game. Could be an absolute dead duck. We don't know at the moment. And I just think the draw might be the way to go.
One more Premier League game to preview ahead of Mark's treble. I know plenty of you are looking forward to for the final game of the Premier League campaign. Let's take a look at Southampton against Liverpool. Southampton already down 7-1. The draw 15-4. Liverpool 2-5, Mark.
Yeah, Liverpool on the double result. Their last four wins, they were ahead at the break. Again, I'll repeat myself slightly. We don't know if it's going to be an important game for Liverpool. I just think they'll win whatever happens. Southampton have been a soft touch defensively, just nowhere near good enough, conceding way too many goals in recent weeks. And, you know, Liverpool, while not perfect at the moment, are definitely in the groove from an attacking sense. So could be a long afternoon for the Saints.
Okay, now each week we bring to you a treble that Mark puts up. It's enhanced by Copybet and it's available to all of you in the description of this podcast. So head over there. Mark, we got one up last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, looked like 10-man Inter were going to deny us, but thankfully Napoli, not for the first time, I would say, this season, managed to get another couple of goals. And yeah, it's all all positive.
Great stuff. That was at a nice price. I think we've got another one, a juicy price this week, thanks to Copybet. Take us through your selections.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Leipzig to beat Schalke. I mean, look, Schalke are desperate for the points in their bid to escape relegation from the Bundesliga, but they're in that spot because they lack quality. You know, Leipzig beat Bayern last week. They've won 8 of their last 9 in all competitions. So, I thought that they were fair enough on what is going to be the final round of Bundesliga action. Got Manchester City to beat Brentford. I mean, there's always the worry that the Champions ease off at this stage of the season once, you know, the serious business is done. But they do have a lot to play for in their quest for the treble. And I just looking at Pep Guardiola, he normally demands absolute focus, doesn't he? And then finally, Inter to beat Atalanta. Cup Kings, really, Inter. They're in the Champions League final. We'll preview that game shortly. They also won the Coppa Italia on Wednesday, but there is still a bit of work to do for them in their quest to make sure that they're in the top four next season in terms of qualifying for the Champions League. They've won 5 of their last 6 Serie A contests, which suggests that they're in good nick. And while it looks like they will definitely be getting this Champions League spot, Juventus had their points stripped from them in midweek, having initially won them back, having lost them at first. So I think from Simone Inzaghi's point of view, he won't want to leave it to chance that maybe Juve get these 10 points back or whatever it is. So I think they will have focus against Atalanta. So it's them, it's Manchester City and also Leipzig. And the boosted treble has been set up in the Daily Acca section of the Copybet Sportsbook, and it's coming in at 21-5 at the moment.
Absolutely. Hopefully we can make it 2-2 for the last couple of weeks to end the season nicely. You've also got a couple of best bets for us, Mark, haven't you, before we get into the European finals and EFL playoff finals. So we'll spin through those now. We'll start with your prop shop.
It's a busy one, isn't it? So we're going for Pakatar in the prop shop to have a shot on target. I've mentioned earlier on that I think that West Ham will be playing quite seriously at Leicester. Pakatar was sensational against Leeds. 4 shots, 2 on target. We know the absolute, ran the show. He's a class act. Took him a little while to settle. Now he's flying. Him to have a shot on target. In terms of the long shot, I'm going to go for a slightly emotional one here, but we do like the emotional one on the final day of the season, Jack. James Milner. I was looking at it many times, I think last goal might be where we get the best value out of this one. Sure, he's going to be on penalties for Liverpool. Now, Mohamed Salah has obviously been taking them in recent weeks, but surely they're going to let Milner in his final game for the Merseysider. So that would be one I would look out for. And as I said earlier on, repeat myself slightly, I think this is a difficult stage of the season for punters. But the nap is going to be Aston Villa. I'm not sure that the market has influenced enough just how desperate Unai Emery is to qualify for the Europa Conference League. And it would be fully deserved given their upturn in fortunes from when he took over.
Brilliant stuff. Championship, League One and League Two EFL playoffs. Let's get Dan Childs to provide his wisdom on those. Always an exciting time of the season. We know our EFL playoff finalists in the Championship, League One and in League Two. And we've got Dan Childs to preview them all. So we've got Coventry against Luton Town in the Championship, Barnsley Sheffield Wednesday in League One, and it's Carlisle Stockport in League Two. Dan, it's already been exciting in the semi-finals. Really excited to see which of these three progress into the leagues above. We'll start with the Championship, where we've got Coventry, Luton. Remarkable for both of these sides to even be here.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. When you think, you know, where these teams have come from. I mean, Luton were five seasons in the National League and were still a National League club 9 years ago. So their rise has been incredible. But you could even argue that Coventry's, because of the sort of the conditions they've had to work under and having to play games at Birmingham and Northampton, that their rise from League, I think they were a League Two club just over 5 years ago, Coventry, that you could even argue that their progression's been even more remarkable. But no, it's for them that they're on the brink now of the big time, and you'd have to say they both deserve to be after the semi-final performances.
There we go. So we've got the two teams that would be fascinating to see in the Premier League next season. Dan, which of those do you expect to make it through?
I'm gonna go for, I think it'll be an incredibly tight game, but I'm gonna just go with a value for Coventry at a shade of odds against to win promotion. I mean, it could go all the way. They might need extra time or penalties, but I just think that they're very, very well matched, these sides. Coventry, I like the fact that they can play in different ways. You go back to the, generally over the season, they've been a possession-based team. They can open teams up that are kind of deep line defence. And you go to the semi-final against Middlesbrough, and they've kind of changed and played more on a counter-attack and did it superbly, especially the second leg away to Middlesbrough. They deserve 1-0 winners, score with a brilliant counter-attacking goal. And I think that just being able to play in different ways is a benefit. I think the fact that they're normally a passing side as well will help on the, you know, kind of the bigger pitch at Wembley, and the fact that they've got such an outstanding individual in Victor Gyökeres, who's the best player on either side. I mean, he's got 21 goals in the Championship this season, 11 assists. He's the only player in the Championship to do the double-double, as they say. And I just think that may give them the edge. Luton have been, you know, absolutely fantastic. Got 10 more points than Coventry in the regular season. And they're a very, very physical, direct side. The strikers, Adebayo and Morris, are a big threat. Tom Lockyer, who comes up for set pieces, the centre-back, he's a big threat as well. But they are very much a kind of a bit of a one-trick pony. They kind of sit in a mid-block, and then they look to nick the ball off you. You know, they look to counter as well. But in general, it's big diagonals, you know, to the strikers. And it's whether Coventry can sort of soak that up and deal with the balls into the box. Carl McFadden will be absolutely key. He's been an absolute defensive rock there for Coventry. Maybe punters should just, you know, keep an eye on his fitness. He did come off towards the end of the second leg at Middlesbrough. But I think if McFadden is fit and he plays and plays well, I think that will go a long way to negating Luton. And I think Coventry, with that Gyökeres threat, may just have enough.
And obviously, you know, winning this is important to either side, Dan. But it feels even more so with Coventry, because you mentioned, you know, Gyökeres there, you've got Hamer in there. You suspect if they weren't to get promoted, they probably lose a lot of that talent, and then things start to get a little bit sticky, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do think that you're right there, Jack. That I mean, Gyökeres, the thought of taking him out of that Coventry side, you know, although there'd still be a decent, tidy side, it would be such a massive, massive loss for him to go. Luton, you would fancy him to keep, you know, more of their squad together. Yeah, I've got a few lone players, Cody Drama, you know, an important player for them, especially at wing-back Luton, that they might lose. But you would think they'd have a better chance, if they don't make it, of perhaps making it the next season.
Right, let's take a look at the League One player final. And it's Barnsley against Sheffield Wednesday. Now, it would have been a big price for Sheffield Wednesday to be in the final after the first leg 4-0 defeat to Peterborough. They managed to remarkably turn that around, and you'd probably have those down as the favourites to win this, Dan.
they are favourites, but I wouldn't have them down as favourites, Jack. I'm going to actually go for Barnsley, and I'm even going to go for Barnsley to win this in the 90 minutes. I think it's a big old price at around 12 to 5 for Barnsley. I think sometimes in these circumstances, when a team goes through in incredible circumstances, there's almost an expectation that, oh, well, you know, surely they've got to do it now. You know, they've come back from 4-0 down, record fight back, you know, surely they're gonna do it now. I mean, as someone that watches Watford a lot, I remember everybody saying the same thing after the Deeney goal against Leicester, and everybody thinking, well, Watford are surely going to go up now, surely they'll beat Crystal Palace in the final. It doesn't always work that way. When you have an incredible occasion like that, to get yourself up for the next game can be quite difficult, and Watford were on that occasion were dreadful in the final and lost to Crystal Palace. I'm not saying Sheffield Wednesday will be dreadful in the final, but I would say that over the course of the two legs, there's more question marks over their semi-final performance than Barnsley. You know, they have gone to Peterborough and lost 4-0, defended dreadfully in that game. The fight back was fantastic, but I would argue that part of that was down to Peterborough, you know, being very, very passive in the second leg. You look at Barnsley's performance against Bolton, and they were excellent over the two legs. They drew 1-1, you know, in the first leg at Bolton, were much the better side, created some really, really good chances. Second leg, got the relatively early goal in the first half, then had created further chances and defended really, really well. And I'll just look at Barnsley. They're the ones that got. They've also got a great record against Sheffield Wednesday, beating them twice this season, 2-0 at Hillsborough, and 4-2, which is, you know, fairly recently at Oakwell. So they're going to have memories of those matches. They're a really, you know, a good solid team. Barnsley calls a lot of a big threat from set pieces. The centre backs there, Liam Kitchen and Bobby Thomas, are a major threat for them. And I just think there's less. Sometimes these finals that are really tight, they can be decided by the team that makes the least mistakes. Barnsley, to me, are a very, very well-organised side. Michael Duff's done a great job there. I think they're less likely to make a catastrophic error in the final. And for that reason, I would go with them to win on the 90 minutes.
OK, Barnsley to overcome Sheffield Wednesday there. That's the Championship League One ticked off. League Two, we've got Carlisle against Stockport down. Which way do you see this one going?
I'm going to go with the outsider again here. Carlisle, I think they're 6-5 to win promotion. That's the angle I'm going to go with, because I think it's going to be an incredibly tight match. I mean, the two teams in, you know, they finished, Stockport were fourth in League Two. Carlisle were fifth, so there wasn't much between them. They played in the league last month at Carlisle. It was a 2-2 draw. So I don't think there's going to be much between these sides. Carlisle, I just think going into the match, I thought I was more impressed with him in the semi-final. Trading 1-0 away to Bradford, you know, from the first leg, they've come back, won the second leg 3-1. I thought that was superb. Carlisle in the second leg thoroughly deserved to go through against a really strong Bradford side. I think Paul Simpson there, I mean, the job he's done, he took over in February last year. They were second bottom in League Two at the time, looked like they were heading for the National League. They went and won 8 of their 15 games after that to stay up. Absolutely amazing just to stay in the division. And then he's recruited fantastically well, and they've gone on again. Looked like they were going to maybe get into the top three. Finished slowly, had only 2 wins from the last 11 games, and you're worried about them going into the playoffs. But like I say, that win over Bradford in the second leg, I think that was a kind of a reminder of how strong they were earlier in the season. They got really good attacking options. 5 sort of players going for 2 attacking positions. I mean, Christian Dennis, who's got 20 goals for them in the league, he didn't even start either of the semi-final matches against Bradford. So there's a depth to their squad. Stockport, you look at them, and I think they miss, since Carl Wootton's, the centre-forward, the 14-goal top scorer, he got injured last month. Since he's been out the side, I think it's upset their rhythm a little bit, Stockport. They went into that last game of the season at home to Hartlepool with a mathematical chance of automatic promotion. I mean, as it turned out, Northampton won anyway, but they weren't to know that. And they were poor against Hartlepool, who were already relegated, drew the game 1-1. Then they've gone into the playoffs, scraped past Salford on the penalty shootout in the end. But I wasn't entirely convinced by their performance, Stockport over the two legs. You've got another key player, Will Collar, who hasn't started a game for over a month, come on as a sub in the second leg against Salford. And I just think these injuries to players that they got in, you know, especially in the attacking area of the pitch, could like come back to bite them in their biggest game of the season. Carlisle, for me, got the stronger squad, more options, and I would take them to go up.
Okay, Dan, thanks very much. Just give us a spin through the bets for each of them again, so people can jot those down.
Yep, going for Coventry to win promotion, Barnsley to win promotion, but to go up in winning the 90 minutes, and Carlisle to win promotion.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it, Dan. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Well, there we go. Thanks to Dan Childs for his insight on those. Really looking forward to them and plenty more finals to preview. Let's get through those with Mark now. And we'll start with the Europa League, Mark. This one on Wednesday. It's Sevilla, who seem to be in this final every single year, against Roma in Budapest. What's the gut saying here?
The gut saying that they might as well start working out who's going to take the penalties now. Cut to it. I think it will. I think the draw is a very big price runner in this game. Jose Mourinho in finals, he's not there to entertain at the best of times, but in finals it gets very serious. And I'm expecting them, Roma, to play, defensive. I think that Sevilla will be the more proactive of the two teams, and they've definitely improved since they sacked Sampaoli and taken out some big guns, Manchester United among them, weren't they, and Juventus in the last round. But they're going to find it difficult to break down this Roma team. There's no doubt about that. They absolutely stunk the place out, if we've been brutally honest, with how they played away to Leverkusen in the second leg of the semi-final. But they had the 1-0 advantage, and they just, they just made it really, really difficult. I wouldn't read too much into their form at the moment, because they are concentrating on the Europa League. But yeah, that game in Leverkusen, they had 28% possession, one shot in the entire game, one corner, and managed to sneak their way through. But, that is the way that Mourinho does it. It's the way he approaches big games. He's always approached big games the same way. Like, you look at their game against Feyenoord in the previous round. That one went to extra time. They lost 1-0 away and then just managed to turn it around at home. So it's just the way that that he plays matches. So I think the goal expectancy for this game should be very low, and that brings the draw into play. I would like to see Sevilla win it, because I love the fact that they, just made this competition their own. I wouldn't be that surprised if Roma nicked it in extra time or on penalties, but I think it's going to be a very close game, and I'm not really interested in the outright market. I find it too difficult.
Okay, interesting. Let's take a look at the FA Cup final, where we've got City against United, June the 3rd, this one. City 2's on to win the match. We probably know the obvious outcome here, Mark, but obviously cup finals, never too obvious. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I suppose I disagree really with you there, Jack, because winning the FA Cup should be motivation enough, but to stop the Man City treble for Manchester United is going, it feels like it might even be bigger than winning the cup itself, to protect the class of 92 that went on to win the Champions League in 99, and the United fans sing "Have you ever won the treble?" like Gary and Phil Neville, and they won't be able to sing that if that comes out. And United have got some of the tools that you need to beat Manchester City, and that is having a threat on the counter attack. If we look at probably the teams that have given the most problems in recent years, you would say it's Tottenham and Liverpool and Manchester United as well, and they've all got that quality on the break that that keeps City honest, I think. And if you defend well, you just organically get chances against them. They did not deserve to win that game at Old Trafford earlier on in the season, I didn't think, but they did win it. So they managed to beat them 2-1 with those two late goals from Fernandes and Rashford. They were, of course, outclassed in the other game 6-3. And if City get on a roll, then it could be a very difficult game. The longer United can stay in it, like I said, they've caused problems. They won at the Etihad in March 2021. They beat City at home in March of 2020. In terms of that EFL Cup semi-final in 2020, they won one of those legs. Wasn't enough to go through, but they did win sort of the Premier League game in December 2019 as well. So they are a team that can cause Manchester City problems. A really hard gear change here. I'm going for a City win, but City to win and under 3.5 goals, I can see it, and I might repeat myself in the Champions League final, I can see United putting up a fair fight in this game. They're just not as good as Manchester City. And with Grealish and Haaland, and you look at somebody like Bernardo Silva, Gundogan playing absolutely fantastically, Kevin De Bruyne has been able to be rested and just seems to peak him, you know, for the really big game. So I will go for a Manchester City win, but like all cup finals, my first instinct is that they're going to be low scoring. And so I'm looking at ways to get with the favourite here in a game that's also low scoring. So Man City to win and under 3.5 goals.
That was cruel, Mark. You gave hope and then snatched it away.
Well, I support Spurs. I'm used to it.
Let's take a look at the Conference League final. This one, June the 7th. We've got West Ham in there for a European final against Fiorentina, who many have fancied for a little while. What a huge occasion this for West Ham, Mark.
Yeah, their fans are going absolutely doolally for it. Speaking to one yesterday that's booked his flights to Prague and an obscene amount of money. Won't say, just in case his wife's listening. But they're all up for it. And rightly so. It's a European final, and I mean, you could look at it and say, well, they haven't beaten much, but you can only beat what's put in front of you. And, you know, if we look back 30, 40 years at some of them Cup Winners' Cup successes of other teams, for instance, you don't always beat good sides, do you? This sort of feels like West Ham's kind of level, you know, and if they win it, kudos to them. It'll put them in the Europa League next season. I don't think they should make a decision on David Moyes' future based on this competition, though, because beating teams from Belgium and the Eredivisie, that doesn't suggest to me that David Moyes should absolutely keep his job. If they think he's the right person to sort of take them forward, that's fine. But I don't think they should be swayed by these European results. And I think that there are the two differences. You can be really excited about this competition, but know that in the long term, it doesn't amount to a huge amount, really. And so I think that will be an interesting point. I thought this game was absolutely 50-50. And my instinct, as soon as I knew which two teams were in the final, was to tip whoever the outsiders were going to be. And that is ever so slightly Fiorentina. Not by much, but I literally would struggle to find anything between the two teams. I looked at Fiorentina on Wednesday in the Coppa Italia final against Inter. They lost the game 2-1, but they played well enough in that one to suggest that this is a tough game for West Ham. Amrabat versus Rice in midfield. I think that'll be a really key battle. Both got players up front that can hurt. Both will see this competition as an opportunity, to really celebrate their season. So a lot on the line, considering it's the Europa Conference final. And like I say, I was just always going to go for whoever the outsiders were. And I'm not surprised that the bookmakers that make it an absolute coin toss, I think, have got it right. And so there's a little bit of value potentially in Fiorentina being slight outsiders, but not by much.
Nervy one for both sets of fans. And let's end this season of Mark Langdon's Bets Club then with previewing the Champions League final. Of course, it's Manchester City against Inter. Manchester City, the heavy favourites to go and win this. It could be the treble, depending on how things go in the FA Cup that's played a week prior to this. On paper, Mark, it should be a canter for City, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it will be an absolute stroll. Rarely a Champions League finals as easy as what people think. I do think that Manchester City will win the game, and I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 3.5 goals again. I think if you're looking for a correct score, something along the lines of 1-0, 2-0. Inter have got good players. Barella in midfield, somebody I really like. Defensively, got a lot of experience in there, and even if they're not experienced, someone like Bastoni is coming along very well. Onana in goal is capable of having those amazing games that sometimes an underdog needs. Lautaro Martinez up front is really finding his form at the moment, was a difference maker in the Coppa Italia final, scored that goal in the Champions League semi-final, second leg, will be a thorn in the City side, I'm sure. And just looking at the expected points from Understat this season, Napoli 74.68, Inter 72.84. So in terms of sort of their model, at least, this is an Inter team that's a lot closer to Napoli than the league table of 20 points difference would ever suggest. And if Napoli were playing Inter, were playing City in the final, I suspect a lot of neutrals would think that it was a tricky game for City. And I think this will be a tricky game. And it is pretty much exactly the same, my thoughts on the Manchester United game, where City's quality probably gets them over the line. But I don't expect them to blow Inter away. And I think it would be doing a disservice on Inter to suggest that, you know, they're, you know, just some rubbish that's reached the final. They've had their problems this season in terms of particularly, just being punished a lot of the time in terms of like expected goals against. They've conceded a lot more than maybe they should have done, if you like, on the maths model. So they'll be hoping they're not as unlucky this time around. I think the City's coming to the Etihad, though. And I think it will be deserved because the domination of this competition hasn't been rewarded, Manchester City, but they should have won one before now. They've been good enough to win one before now. I think their time is now.
There we go. I hope you've jotted all of that down. Plenty talked about.
I've forgotten, Jack. What did I tip?
Plenty talked about today's episode. That brings to an end this season. Mark, have you enjoyed it? Trials and tribulations of Bets Club?
I've enjoyed speaking to you each week, and you know the positive messages that we get from the listeners, and you know I really enjoy doing the show. Whether I've enjoyed the season is another matter entirely. I think the World Cup in the middle of it has made it feel like about three seasons in one. So I'd be lying if I said I'm not looking forward to the break.
And it doesn't help that we support Spurs and Norwich, does it? I mean, that hasn't added to the joy of this season at all. We'd like to thank all of you at home for listening. As Mark said, a big thanks for all of your lovely messages throughout this season. Fear not, we'll be back next campaign for more of the same. A big thanks to Dan and everyone else who's contributed to the show over the last 10 months or so. It's been a real pleasure. I must say, with all of the selections that Mark and Dan have put up today, please remember to only ever back them with money that you can afford to lose. Stay safe over the summer, and we'll speak to you all again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.